And while we're out under the yellow moon, look around you. Look for a tree. Walk over. Give it a hug. Time now for Tree Hugger. Here's Simran.
Welcome to Tree Hugger Radio. I'm Simran Sethi. Tree Hugger brings you the freshest eco news from every perspective, and this week is no exception. We sat down with Eco America founder and avid environmentalist Bob Perkowitz late last year to address the shifting landscape of environmentalism, the challenges of climate change, and the bipartisan nature of all things green. And his insights are as timely as ever. So the thing that I was most intrigued to read really was the Eco America mandate to re-engage environmentally agnostic Americans. Can you explain to me how you created the organization and why that is your specific mandate?
Well, I've been heavily involved in the environmental movement for over a decade. I'm on the board of trustees of the Sierra Club Foundation and on the Board of Trustees of Environmental Defense, as well as a couple smaller organizations. And in that experience, I noted that that the environmental organizations generally just market to people that are like them. The Sierra Club sends out mailings only to people who are likely to become donors. And the people that are active environmentalists in America are actually a very small percentage of the population. So when you look at a statistic like Earth Day, having 20 million people coming out for Earth Day 25 years ago, and then last year less than a million people come out, you wonder why there's such a decline in public participation in environmental activities. And you just take a look at the way environmental organizations are marketing, and it makes sense.
Now, your American Environmental Values Survey that you put together really has indicated that environmentalism has faded as a concern for many people here in the U.S. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. The most important one is that the environmental movement of the 1970s or so was very effective. They passed the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, NEPA, the National Environmental Protection Act, which requires environmental impact statements, lots of laws like that we live with today. And it took a while. It took 10 or 15 years, but the air and water in America, all across America, has generally become cleaner because of that foresightful legislation that happened in the 70s. So wherever you are, Simran, the air is cleaner and the water is cleaner than it was before, and so you're less concerned about it, so it's less obvious. And then our problems today, like ecosystems depletion, you don't see the fish in the ocean that we fish about 90% of by pounds of most of the edible fish stock in the oceans, or ANWR's far away, or global warming is hard to understand. So the second point is the current environmental issues are big, vague, and far away. And then at the same time, you know, the people that profit from polluting the environment have gotten much more sophisticated at couching. They used to be back in the time of James Watt and Ronald Reagan, they'll tell you that they were going to cut down the forest and turn it into jobs. And now they call it healthy forest and they kind of mislead you on it. So, and then the last reason is that the environmental organizations in America haven't really responded to these changes, the cleaner environment, the forces that are doing more effective job attacking the environment. The environmental organizations in America are still generally operating the way that they did 25 or 30 years ago.
And how much of that goes back to what you referred to just a few moments ago, this idea of sort of single messaging? How can we reach people where they are now? What do you think are the best ways for us to, for lack of a better phrasing, market the message of environmentalism?
Well, I'd say two things. One is that we still market the environment as a bunch of technical issues and problems, and we scare people about it, and we tell people, you know, we leave people with the impression that it's going to cost money to fix the environment. In reality, almost every time, well, I'm going to say every time you do something to protect the environment, it ends up with a positive cost benefit to Americans, and it improves our health benefits, it improves our national security. So you can market the environment by going away from the issues and start talking about the values and benefits. And then the second thing is that, you know, Americans are not one big homogeneous mass. And so you can probably convince a farmer in Iowa, an investment banker in New York, a Baptist minister in Orange County, California, that global warming is real. But what you might say to those people would be very different. And just in the same way that if you're going to market somebody, if you're a consumer products company, you don't have like one kind of shampoo and think that everybody in America wants that exact kind of brand of shampoo. People relate to things in different ways. So if we can go positive and benefit-oriented and relate to people better, we'll be able to get the environmental messages across more effectively.
I now know you well enough to know that you choose your words very wisely. And looking in the mandate, to go back to what we started with about Eco America, the idea of environmentally agnostic Americans, I'm absolutely intrigued by the framing of environmentalism as a faith-based initiative. Do you think this is an area where we're going to have a lot more success than we've seen in other communities that are trying to galvanize people around environmentalism?
Well, I think that a lot of sectors of the American public are getting a little bit more freaked out about what's happening with the environment. Either global warming is pretty much real to everyone right now. If you grew up in Chicago, you're wondering why you're getting into Christmas without any snow. And I was just talking to an attorney in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and he just said to me, and not an environmentalist at all, he said he's getting worried that his kids may never see snow in Chicago. So it's becoming real to people. And so, like, the Christian groups, there's, Paul Gorman, Jim Ball, Richard Cizik, there's a bunch of, and just, Pat Robertson joined the chorus of evangelical leaders in America. There's a small minority of them that don't seem to care about God's creation, but the vast majority now of evangelicals and Christians are jumping on the bandwagon and trying to save them.
It's everything from a business imperative to a biblical imperative.
That's a good way of putting it, Simran.
When I interviewed Lori David, she was talking to me about the idea of framing environmentalism and the issue of climate change as not simply an environmental issue, but a human rights issue and a civil rights issue. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Lori is absolutely right about it. And there's nobody that cares more about the environment and is more passionate about than Lori David. But when you look at Stop Global Warming and a lot of their websites, I think bringing the celebrities into it and doing a lot of other stuff, she's adding a lot of value. But mainly her message is, stop global warming now. Methane's coming from the tundra, and we're going to hell in a handbasket. And I think that she could be a little bit more effective if she would segment her message, target it better, and communicate benefits a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. How do we communicate this message to, your colleague in Chicago who's saying, I'm not sure if my child is going to get to see snow. Now, that may be something that he's really troubled by, but for someone else who's like, great, I don't want to see any more snow in Chicago. How do we target and reach those people who still don't understand, why should I care? Why is it relevant to me?
Well, if you take a look at, and you can take any of the large environmental national websites, like, let's say, National Resources Defense Council, and you go to it, and if that attorney wanted to go out and he was worried and he wanted to do something, he'd go there and he'd have to try to figure it out and click on all these things and be all worried about it. Now, if you then contrast that with, like, the Coal Association's website, which is called learnaboutcoal.org, where there's a 11-year-old kid that explains it to you. It might not be completely appropriate, but what we don't have for Americans is approachable sources for information that explains easily what they can do and what the benefits are. And oftentimes we don't have the messengers. As powerful as Al Gore has been and all that he has done to try to save the world, which is probably more than anyone on the planet, he's a Democrat, he's a liberal, he's got a lot. And so there's huge segments of the American public that, because he is for it, distrust it. If Arnold Schwarzenegger was the guy that was on Inconvenient Truth getting that message out, the audience would have been triple, and we'd have gotten to a lot of people that we didn't get to. And it's not Al's message as much as it is as you have to have the right message, you have to have the right messenger, you have to have the right medium to get to these people. So, if you want to get after sports fans, go after Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon, and Kyle Petty gets out of the car and says, they ask him, why are you driving a car that gets 40 miles per gallon? And he says, because I care about America. I care about my family, all of a sudden you'll get, you know, you have the right messenger, you have the right message to the right audience, and you can be much more effective than, for instance, Al Gore showing, you know, ice caps melting.
Thank you, Tree Hugger. And as the glaciers melt, we wanted to give you a special Earth Day message from EcoTalk. We want to thank you for your listenership. We're not going off the air, but we are out of funds because we have been in this period of transition while Air America gets new owners and we've not been able to sell advertising. We are an independent program. So this wonderful program that we hope you enjoy as much as we enjoy bringing to you every day is mostly self-funded. I mention that because I'm out of funds and I don't want to quit doing this show. So if you can, or if anyone you know can, make a donation this Earth Day. Make it an Earth Day gift. It will be the gift that keeps on giving. I promise it, every dollar will make a difference. Please go to our website if you can help us, ecotalk.net. We have a PayPal button right there. Thanks to everyone who sends whatever you can, but we do need about $2,500 a week to cover our production costs here. So while every dollar counts, stretch, dig a little deeper if you can, because we want to stay on during this transition and come to you new and improved and fully funded and fully advertised in May when Air America comes out with their new spring lineup. We're not sure if we're going to be on weekdays still. We may move to a weekend slot, but it would hopefully be a two-hour program at a very good time. Again, hoping to stay on Monday through Friday, but we want to stay on the network. We certainly want to stay in production. So thank you for whatever you can do on this Earth Day from the bottom of my green heart. Hope you can keep us on the air so we can keep you informed and inspired about what's taking place with our environment on a day-to-day basis. Fresh green news and views you can use. That's what we bring you here at EcoTalk. When we come back, Home Depot's new Eco Options program.